better listen very carefully.
A good martial artist does not become tense, but ready.
Essentially, at this point, the fight is over.
So you pretty much flow with the goal.
Who is worthy to be trusted with the secret to limitless power?
I'm ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another Bulletproof for BJJ Podcast. I'm JT, and I'm here with the ever-great Joey.
Hey, what's up, fam?
We are in a special location today.
That's right. We're in the Strength Bunker.
The Strength Bunker. The home away from home fortress, which is Joey's gym garage.
Yep. Garage gym. It's a gym that is constantly at odds. There is a front line between the gym and boxes full of miscellaneous shit.
Stuff. Like, the battle continues.
And it's like, oh, fuck, we lost the gym again. And then, you know, and then a couple of weeks later, it's like the gym fucking regains a couple of meters. Yeah, but it's good to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, you know what, bro, I'm going to take a holiday and shit because, you know, we work hard. But yeah. Then we needed to podcast. I thought, you know what, babe, fuck it. No holidays this year. Podcast.
Joey's blaming his lack of holiday on me. Yeah. Not true. He did take.
I'm fucking shit at planning holidays, by the way.
I'm not about it myself. But I mean, it was nice. Get to hang out with family and
I told you I got stitched up. I didn't get to see fam. Also, last year at Christmas time,
yeah,
I was patient you got zero.
Me too.
Yeah, I got. Yeah, that's right.
I was one. You were zero. I was one.
Yeah, and Paulie. So three of us got COVID at the gym at Jungle Brothers
the week before Christmas.
Yeah, and it was at a time where here in Sydney it was kind of the wave was building and there's a lot of anticipation around it. The strange thing was we didn't know anyone else who had COVID, right?
No.
So it was like, oh my god, you got COVID. Yeah. Remember, everyone on my street was like, oh, we heard you had COVID.
Oh, yeah, like judgy,
really judgy about it. I was like, all right, motherfucker, it's coming for you.
Take it easy.
But so I couldn't, we had to stay at home, right? So
yeah.
We had 10 days of
self-isolation. Yeah.
And so this year, whatever, even on my card, I just reread it this morning from my partner, Misa. She was like, it'll be nice that we'll get to go and be with the family this year and, you know, whatever. And then we're literally about to leave to go down to the South Coast. My family lives like an hour and a bit away.
Yeah.
And mum fucking calls and says, hey, your brother and your dad just tested positive for COVID.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, do we go? And she's like, we don't go.
No.
Fuck.
Dang, it's Christmas Day, right?
Christmas.
Everything is shut.
Yeah, we had no food because we're going there to eat.
They have all the food there.
They got all the shit.
Man.
So we were like, we're all right, we'll head out to the country, spend a few days.
Yep.
McDonald's drive through for Christmas lunch.
Oh, yeah. Classic Australian tale. So Aussie. Mate, that's when you messaged me, I was like, oh, it's stitched up.
Hard.
That's tough, man. It's tough because it's the whole thing about Christmas is just hanging out with your family and taking some time and eating good food. And that's the thing. I mean, I don't know wherever you are in the world, but in Australia, Australians love a public holiday, but nothing is open for Christmas.
That's right.
It's zero, zero, zero.
It's a small town. You very quickly realize it's a small town, this country we live in.
This whole country.
Yeah.
But no, we do Christmas on Christmas Eve day. Because our broader family has other commitments. My sister's husband, their family has stuff, and our cousins and stuff, they do other stuff. So we found that Christmas Eve day is the best day to get everyone in.
Yeah.
And I know also they celebrate that way in Poland. Christmas Eve is when they do the big thing.
I noticed that when I was in Europe. Yeah. Christmas Eve was the day.
Yeah.
Kind of.
It's a bit of a thing. So that was nice. It was cool. We got a bunch of people together, and it was lovely to see people I haven't seen in ages and hang out. And then Christmas Day is very chill. So
Did you go to the gym on either of those days?
Yes, I did. I went to the gym on both days. Mate, eating and lifting.
Ho, motherfuckers.
Mate, I'm trying to get as big and strong as possible. So it's like everyone else ain't lifting. I'm in there.
Slipping. Yep. What are you training for? What's the, like?
I think it's just, I'm just trying to work on my deficiencies right now. So I'm working on all my grip and shoulder stuff. So stuff that is probably my less good side stuff. Grip and shoulders are deficiencies. Get them strong as, and then come back and blow a hole through everything else. And hopefully, not hopefully, but like provided everything lines up, later next year do a strongman comp under 90.
Right.
If I can get there.
If you can get under 90.
Yeah, I'm like 98 kilos right now.
Are you?
Yeah.
Fuck,
I'm not too fat.
No, you're holding it well.
Yeah.
No,
yeah, I was saying to Julian, I keep my inflammation in my calves. It's just swollen.
He's all fucking ankles and knees, this guy.
that's where the weight is. But no, it was cool, man. It's really hot, though. I mean, pretty hot out your way where you were, right?
It was actually cooler out there because it's higher.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, which is pretty nice. But yeah, Sydney was hot as fuck.
Yes.
Which reminds me of our childhood Christmases where it was hot.
Like
it was
really hot.
Yeah, but for the last 10 years, it's usually raining on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck? It's not what it's meant to be. What's going on? Yeah, so it was kind of a bit of a throwback to the old days.
It was. Oof, bringing it back. But
on that, got to give a shout out to anyone that's like doesn't have fam and shit to hang out with around this time. There's obviously like a lot of people listening. Most people are trying to catch up with fam and do that whole thing. But, you know, there's people traveling.
Definitely.
There's people in unfortunate circumstances.
Of course.
Thoughts are with y'all.
Yeah, I've done that. I've done the kind of orphans Christmas thing, and it's good.
Was that the year your family disowned you?
Which year?
Why'd they take you back?
Which year was that? I paid them. Yeah. No, I think it's one of those things. I for whatever reason, I made a call like, oh, I think I'll stay in Melbourne this Christmas.
Oh.
And it wasn't that good.
Has your mum ever let that go?
Probably not. She still talks about it.
Yeah.
But no, it's hard, man. And look, if you haven't got people to hang out with, it might be good to get together with some friends and stuff. But it's, for me, I don't get caught up with the Santa thing. I don't think the gifts thing is as important as the just hanging out with people who you enjoy hanging out with. So that can be an extended group of people. It might be work, or it could be your jiu-jitsu crew.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting how we manifest family. How that comes together, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Let's talk jiu-jitsu, mate.
Mate, this has come up recently. We are talking about, are jiu-jitsu coaches teaching jiu-jitsu wrong? Like literally, is the format of a jiu-jitsu class wrong? Like, and it's interesting because people have asked me that, and I know that I teach a little bit differently. Even though there's, you know, an expectation classes have a certain format, it was discussed recently on BJJ Mental Models, with a coach, Greg Salders. I hope I'm getting his name right.
Yeah. I listened to him recently on the Sonny Brown Breakdown.
Right. Yes.
Which, shout out to Sonny Brown. Be doing quite well. He's got some great guests.
Smart guy. Yep. Really, really rate it. Also just opened his own gym, Apex MMA.
Right on.
Shout out. Yeah. I think with respect to Greg and BJJ Mental Models, what they're saying or what they're highlighting is this system that we've inherited of the runaround, warm up, the star jumps, the push ups, the whatever. Then, okay, here's a technique. Now let's, you know, elaborate on the technique. Now we maybe do a bit of situational, now we roll, is very flawed. And this isn't the best way to learn. Now, straight away I go, of course, that seems very obvious to me. But if you're just new to jiu-jitsu, you're like, well, my coach is a black belt. He's done this forever. He's really good, or she's really good. Why don't I just do what they do? I think that having trained at a lot of different schools and seen lots of different ways and means, if you're starting jiu-jitsu, that is not necessarily the best way to learn. And I mean, you've had different experiences yourself, Joe. Is there a way that works better for you, or what do you think about the current state of the way jiu-jitsu is taught?
Maybe let's dive into a bit what that standard sort of model is.
Yeah.
And I think that standard approach was the majority of my jiu-jitsu upbringing.
Mm.
Which was, you go in, you do a pretty mindless warm-up. That's one part. And then you get into this sort of technique part of the class. And usually it would be, okay, guys, here's the technique we're looking at today.
Yeah.
And let's say it's an armbar from closed guard.
Sure.
You go, hey, guys, this is the armbar from closed guard. Step 1, 2, 3, 4, cool. All right, everyone do it. And then the coach would go, here's a triangle from closed guard. So obviously the theme today is closed guard, you know, and then here is an omoplata from closed guard.
Sure.
So there you go, guys. You got three different techniques you can now apply to your closed guard. All right, let's roll.
Yeah.
Time goes on, you do the rounds, and that's the thing. So that for me was always just the basic format.
Sure.
And I've seen certain places, certain gyms that would evolve on that basic foundation. So they would go, rather than three different techniques from the closed guard, perhaps we're going to look at three different stages of the armbar setup from closed guard.
Right.
And we're going to really dial into the details, right?
That thing.
Yeah. And then, you know, you might go to another gym and you might go to some, or rather I'm talking about the evolution of it. You might go to some place and it's like, hey, this month we're working on closed guard.
Right. So there's a theme.
So you're like, oh shit. Okay. Yeah. Whereas the very basic foundation, you might come the next day and it's like, hey, today we're doing toehold defense.
Something totally different.
Yeah. And then Wednesday's inversions. Like it's just unrelated.
Totally unrelated, unorganized.
Yeah. So I mean, I think it kind of goes without saying, looking at it now, that initial foundation was pretty fucking sloppy.
All over the shop.
Yeah. Flawed as fuck. And I think when we're talking about this, it's like, well, you could argue that nothing is wrong. Just some approaches are more optimal than others. And I think you could say that initial approach of just like, oh, here's what we're working on today and here's three different options, that's about as sloppy as it gets.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess if we could draw an analogy with like a PT, it's as if a person's come in, let's say it was small group PT. So you've got like a group of 5 to 10 people come in and the coach, the PT says, guys, I've been working on my power cleans. Whatever your goals are, I don't care. You're going to learn power cleans today.
Yep.
You're like, I don't want to do Olympic lifting. Why am I doing power cleans? Like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, I'm here to rehab my back.
Yeah, like, yeah. What are you doing? So I feel like it's – because don't get me wrong, I having taught jiu-jitsu for a number of years and trying to work out what is the best method of information delivery for the students, it is a little bit of trial and error. So when you start, you're as much as you've had people teach you many things, you do have to – work things out for yourself, not just as an individual, but as a teacher and a coach. And you get feedback from students over time. I think what was interesting about what they were saying on the BJJ mental models and what Greg Salter had to say was he classifies different positions differently. Like he's like the stand-up exchange, so fighting on the feet. The kind of passing exchange, like you're trying to pass the guard and the person fighting off their back. And they do different drills and games. They do a lot more gamification and live drill work without giving too much instruction. Like
they kind of give parameters.
Yeah,
don't they?
Like your job is hold this person down.
Yeah,
your job is get the hell up. You know, and so even if someone is an amateur or very new, they kind of know the point of the game and they do whatever they need to do to make that happen. And he's saying that this is much more natural. Or I'm trying to remember the exact quote, Julian. What was it? Ecological.
Ecological?
Yeah. And anyway, I just
it's
think
like that's the ecological model of teaching or something?
Yeah. Anyway, I just, yeah. Cool. Whatever. Call what you want. One of his biggest criticism or one of my biggest takeaways was teaching people to drill with no resistance is pointless. That's what he was saying. I don't think that is entirely true because you do have to familiarize yourself with the movement.
Yeah. You
if you've never done it before, just going, oh, just do it against resistance is better. I don't think that's true. I think one of the problems is you don't get the degree of stepping up where it's like, okay, here you are doing a movement with just the bar. Now you're doing it with 10 kilos. Now you're doing it with 30% resistance. Now, you know what I mean? And like you don't see that graduated approach necessarily. Some gyms do it. I know that for sure when we were training the pro class at Absolute MMA, Lockie would get us to gradually step it up, but we already had a room full of experienced people. So it wasn't as much on him to instruct as it was on us to come prepared.
Yeah.
And he would guide us. And then it's on the maturity of the individuals to know, I'm not trying to win this round, I'm trying to learn this round. And then gradually it would evolve over the period that you do finish with full training, but you've worked on the same skill from the start to the end. Now, just to give a sample of that, Lockie would never do any warm-up. He's like, if you want to warm up, you come in and you drill and you warm yourself up. You show up early, you warm yourself up. And then he actually made that mandatory. He was like, well, if we train at 10, if you don't come half an hour early, you're not allowed to train at 10. If you show up at 10, you're not part of the session.
Right on.
It was really cool. Like, it was like, wow, like he's not a mean guy or anything, but because people were coming late and not, he's like, you've got to be professional.
Yeah.
Show up, warm yourself up, get drilled. Because he also expected that people would bring their own drill for their own game. And I'm a big promoter of that. But if you just started jiu-jitsu, you're like, I don't know what I'm meant to do.
Yeah.
Like I need some direction here. But then the warm-up was you practicing that skill. And he would give an option. He would say, okay, if you've come here and you don't know what you need to practice, here is the technique we're working on this week or this is the thing we're working on. So you can follow what I'm doing and then do that. But if you've got a particular game, you're going to go practice that. And you're going to gradually ramp up as we do our specific training at varying intensities until ultimately we roll at the end. And that's more advanced. But I think if you're speaking like, I want to go to the other side of that, which is where it's too formulaic. So Not going to name the gym.
Like the gym has like a handbook of techniques.
Oh,
it's like we're
skip for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Do 10 sit-ups, do 10 push-ups, do 10 star jumps. Everyone count them out while you're doing them. If you train at this gym, you know what I'm talking about. You actually find you're only probably rolling 5 minutes out of the whole hour. You know what I mean? Like the actual jiu-jitsu you do is very minimal in the whole class. And yeah, it's very structured. And yeah, they've got this syllabus, but it feels really not, doesn't feel like real jiu-jitsu, you know, like if you've trained anywhere else. So then there's the other extreme where people are just training in their garage or they've got some mates together and they're like, we just roll.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just war.
Hey, I'll show you guys some shit I saw on the internet
yesterday. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. Now let's just brutalize each other. What is the...
All works, right?
Well, depending on the individual.
Yeah.
Some people get really good. Some people are, I think you get people who are, they pick things up really quickly. They've got good fight IQ. If you just make them roll, they get better.
Yeah.
And then you get other people who are really, they need the technical breakdown to understand and they get really good from a lot of input, a lot of structure. Based off the way jiu-jitsu is taught now, what have you found works best for you, Joe?
Well, yeah, so I think it's a good point you make about, say, what you would do at Absolute with Lockie, where the onus is on each of the students to come in with the thing that they're going to work on.
Yep. But so he actually terms that the flip schoolroom model. I think that's what it's called.
Right.
Where he's like, you prepare at home and then you go to training to practice.
Right.
You're not going to training to learn.
Yeah.
Like you actually have
kind of done that offsite.
Yes.
Yeah. Makes perfect sense, right, for people at a certain level. I've never been that interested in my jiu-jitsu that I would be that proactive about it.
Sure.
You know, I look at that and I'm like, yeah, that's sick, but it probably wouldn't work for me. I want to show up and yep. I want it to be taken care of.
Sure.
You know?
I think that would be the vast majority of people.
You'd have to think, right? It's like you turn up at the gym 2-3 times a week and it just needs to all happen in that like 60 to 90
minutes. Space, yeah.
The other thing that's often not acknowledged, and I think that this is just whatever, we get focused on whatever we're interested in, but there's two sides to this. There's the physical side and then there's the skill development. Mm. The physical side is like doing a warm-up,
yep.
Right? And then the skill development is how are we learning these techniques? Now, the warm-ups are shit, yes, but then when you have these coaches that are like, we're just going to start drilling right away and I'm just going to be teaching layers of this sequence that we're going through today. And you're like, hang on, you've just skipped a whole thing that's also really important.
Yeah.
Like I would also, in that situation, I'd be like, I'll do the fucking star jumps. I'll do the burpees. I'll do the skipping one with the arms, you know, like this, this one, you know, like whatever. Like just let's get moving a bit first. I've been sitting down all day or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
So I think that's really important just in this discussion to understand there's like two things that need to be serviced.
Yes. Well, I was going to say, this is one of my major beefs with Greg Saunders and mental models. They were like, who needs warm-ups? Right. You're wasting time on being physically prepared. Hey, Greg Saunders, everybody needs it. Don't worry about shots fired. How about if you sat down for 8 hours every day, you do need to open up those hip flexors, not just get straight into takedowns. Just saying, come at me, bro.
Yeah, I think that's a really short-sighted like thing to say, right? It's one thing to say like, look, I want to spend the whole hour on skill development. So if you guys want to play this game, you're going to do your own warm-up. Like Lockie said, like
sure.
I'm not allocating time for that. You guys fucking do it. That's fine. That's an acknowledgement of the thing and outsourcing. But yeah, so that's a bit silly, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, I'm sure like most black belts, full of fucking injuries and all busted up.
Of course.
You know, so we should be able to teach the next generation to do a bit better.
Yeah, not to do that. Yeah.
So in that regard, yeah, I like having it laid out. Now, what I do like is I like to feel like the coach has some kind of plan that I'm part of and that I'm on this journey. Yes. So when you see the coach show up and they're like, hey, I saw this cool fucking footlock thing, Marcelo Garcia, let's play with that. And you're like, oh, this will be fun. But a part of you is like, oh, you just came up with that on the spot.
Yeah, that's right? Not prepared.
No, it's like as a PT when someone shows up, sometimes you do make it up on the spot, but you don't want to be that person. You want to be like, hey, I've sat down separate from this. I've designed a process. Here's the program exactly.
Mm.
It's day one. It's week five, whatever. Let's do the thing. So I like feeling like the coach has an idea and that they're taking me on that journey. And how whatever that is for the coach, whether it's like a journey this week or it's a journey, hey, for the next few months, we're doing a deep dive on X, you know, to that point about when the coach wants to show their A game.
Yes.
You know, and it's like you can tell they've gone completely off piste and they're like, hey, I'm going to fucking show you guys this thing. That's going off the plan.
Yes.
But there is an argument for that. That can also be okay when it's used every now and again.
Sure.
Because when someone's coaching their A game, they're super motivated to like bring the energy.
Yeah, and enthusiastic. That's,
as a student, you're like, fuck yeah, JT's teaching us his favorite shit.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to be a sick class. But if you're teaching me your favorite shit every day, I'm like, I don't think he really knows what he's like. He hasn't thought about
that. It's a bit selfish.
Yeah.
You're it's teaching, indulgent. You're teaching to please yourself, not improve your student.
Yes.
And that's what are you teaching for? Yeah, I think that my worst classes are actually where I get on a bit of a roll. Because I'm like, also, when you're here, if you do the pants grip like this, and like, I just, my brain runs away with me because I already have 7 other steps in mind relevant to what I would do. But like, we've had this discussion where you're like, stop there, bro.
Yeah.
Because I'm like,
I'm full.
Yeah, you're like, let me just work on that. And that's fair play. And I think the best coaches are actually very adept at choosing what is enough. Because it's like there's so many great practitioners and professors in jiu-jitsu. You want your students to think you're also really good. So you don't want them to be disappointed by fuck, not showing enough.
Value today.
Yeah, you're like, no, but I can show you everything, guys. And I think that's not realistic. I think one of the better traits I've seen is when a coach can say, well, you know what? That's not my field of expertise.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't really know that, but let me come back to you. I'll go talk to someone who's better than me. Or if you want to research it, like say someone wants to know about like worm guard and tying up the lapels. And they're like, well, you know, I've seen Lockie do that. I mean, his general knowledge is infinite, but he's like, oh, that's not my area of specialty. And sometimes he'll even like go to someone who's been really working on it, be like, oh, you're doing a lot of that. What do you think? And it becomes more collegiate. Like it's more of a teamwork thing, not just a single leader. And I think that's really positive too.
I think, I mean, you see that. I feel like that is now what's happening in a lot of gyms. The level of students has risen a lot.
Yeah.
Like you look at blue and purple belts now and they're like, you know, like everyone would have one or two of these people at their gym. They're watching the instructionals. They're doing deep dives. They're in the garage outside of class hours. They're in the gym and they're the ones that are like bringing new shit.
Mm.
The coach is often like, you know, like busy running the gym and trying to fucking make ends meet and all
hold
that
the
thing.
Business down.
Yeah. So it's like, it's only natural that it's like, well, actually this young guy over here has got the better information. Man, can you share with us what you know?
Mm.
Joel does that a bit at Gracie with a couple of the Savage Purple Belts.
Sure.
And it's really cool. Joel and Paul, there's no qualms about it. They're just like, hey, Lockie, you've been fucking doing a deep dive on this. Show us your thing.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah. And it is. It's very nice. And I think it's a very honest approach.
Yep.
I do know of a gym, a couple of friends of mine train at, where the coach has, from what they've told me, has a real problem with anyone bringing techniques other than him.
Oh, okay.
And he'll actually say, he'll stop people and be like, I haven't taught that technique. Don't like.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And that's you can just feel the protectionist vibes of like somehow that because this person has some new information that's threatening your status.
Yeah.
But I think it's actually just, it's the way it has to be.
Yeah, for sure.
You can't know it all.
No, you can't. Jiu-jitsu is too big and the way it's growing with gi and no gi, it's just divergent and, you know, and it's super tough. I guess I've experienced something similar where, you know, I had an interest in X-Guard and it was very early on in the journey and someone's like, don't bring that up. You'll never get your blue belt if you try and discuss that with the coach. Don't do it. And I was like, that's weird. Why would you block knowledge? It comes down to a number of things, but one of the best ways that I learn is when I have discussions, like a bit of a brainstorm. So you get 2 or 3 people together and do that. And that's something I've always done outside of jiu-jitsu. And this is where we can come back to class format. But I think I got this from seminar discussions, not jiu-jitsu seminars. This is from a health and fitness seminar where the person had deliberately put aside 45 minutes at the end for group discussion and for people to, oh, I heard this and what do you think about that? And
Q&A type vibe.
Yeah, people left far more satisfied because they got information that wasn't on the docket, you know?
Yeah.
They got more from it. And the reason why I reference this is because some of the times which were the best at Absolute after the pro class was we would kind of, it wasn't a real warm down. Like it was kind of like a stretch at the end. maybe Lockie stretching because, you know, he wanted to get more flexible and he has. And I would do some and people would kind of look like they're stretching. But people would say, I've got a problem with this. And really, it was like, it was always really obvious. It was like, how do I beat this person's game? Like, this person keeps doing this annoying thing to me. How do you fix it, Lockie? And then he would be like, all right, put me there. And he's very kinesthetic. Not that he wouldn't just look at it. He would get the person or the offender of the move to do it to him. And then he'd say, oh, how about this? Oh, do this. And then he would look at the person doing it and give them feedback directly.
That's cool.
And everybody was like, yeah, that guy always gets me with that. Yeah. You know, like, so everybody is learning how to counter that.
Yeah.
And that brainstorming.
And it's open. It's like, and it's culturally then.
Yeah.
It's okay to be like, JT's fucking toehold. How do we all deal with that?
How do we fix that?
Yeah. Like, and that, I think a lot of gyms wouldn't be comfortable. Their culture wouldn't allow such an open discussion.
And it was kind of funny though. It was kind of like a joke, like, because everybody would be like, yeah, how do we pass Levi's guard? Lockie just like, oh,
it cannot be passed.
You can't. Everyone's like, oh, okay. But it was good. Like I definitely took a lot from that. And I always like to do that. You know, I'm not teaching now, but even at the end of an open mat, get people together and talk about like, oh, how'd you go with this? And have that open discussion about like what worked and what didn't. I found that was really helpful for me. And I don't really see that much in a traditional class.
Yeah. You know? Well, often the next class is kind of starting.
Oh, you got to get them off the mats or clean the mats or.
Yeah.
So it's funny because there's like this conflict between what is the best learning model and then how do you run a business?
Yeah. I think too, morning and lunchtime, like classes in the first half of the day lend themselves to a bit more of that. We can hang out a little bit because there's nothing going on. Like maybe you've got to get to work or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, evenings it's like get in, get out sort of thing.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to go back to that sort of our original thing there of like, what's the way, you know?
I'm going
to
say it's not fair to just say coaches are teaching wrong, right? Like, yeah, that's the topic. Here's where we get finer or get into the smaller, more granular. It is actually, it might be the coach's fault for not explaining it to the student. Students really need to own their jiu-jitsu. Like you've got to take initiative. Everyone's different. So maybe it's instructionals or maybe you need private lessons or maybe you need whatever you need. If you're over the age of 20, you got to take responsibility for your stuff. Your coach has to worry about hundreds of people. Really, as much as the coach might do their best to communicate to you, you've got to decide. And you've got to put in work. I mean, I was doing it anyway, but no one really broke that down for me till I was kind of late in my blue belt, which is like, oh, you want to get good at this, so you need to go do it, practice the hell. Because I was like, oh, but my teacher doesn't practice my game every session. It's like, yeah, of course not. The class isn't built around you. You've got to have enough discipline that you come to the class, do whatever it is, but still when it's rolling time or when it's specific training time, you say, hey, can I work on my side control escapes? Or, hey, can I work on my Delaheva sweep? And you keep that in your mind. You don't just kind of blithely, mindlessly go along with whatever's going on because you won't actually get better.
Yeah, I think that's a very moderate opinion. I'd quite agree. I think like even in that situation, if you were to say to your coach, hey, man, I'm only in here a couple nights a week. Do you mind if I drill my thing tonight rather than, you know, and a cool coach would be like, do it.
Yeah.
Like if you feel motivated to fucking go for it.
Mm.
You know, I often think about this thing like with the gym, right? Jungle Brothers, it's a small group class-based gym. The classes are programmed for a group of people. Mm. The argument is a group program will never be as effective as an individualized one-on-one program, right? Yes. But most people that come to our gym are not interested in training by themselves following their own program.
Yeah.
They want to come to a group-based thing where there's a social component.
Atmosphere.
Yeah, good vibes, good energy, and fucking less train.
Of course.
So one program is going to get them the results. Another program is just going to fail, even though it might technically be a better program. And I think that this is a really important sort of acknowledgement to that point about the group jiu-jitsu class, where it's like, yeah, sure, maybe the stuff that we're going through tonight isn't 100% what you want to be working on or what you need right now. But this group experience is why you're here.
That's right.
And this is the glue that keeps you coming back.
Yeah.
So whatever, unless you want to book me for privates exclusively and that's like-
You could.
This is the solution. And as someone who's kind of come through that realm, I'm like, fuck, it worked for me.
Yeah.
I'll kick any motherfucker's ass.
Bring it.
Yeah. Anyone in this garage except for JT.
Oh, maybe. We got to be in the same weight class, bro, I think.
Yeah. I know why you went up. Shit.
Well, I heard Adam lost weight.
But, you know, ads on that point, ads is always really good at that, where he's like, it's a group thing, but he will always go around to each person and give them the thing for them.
What they need.
Hey, man, I think you should fucking do this because that position we get into, it, like, you could make it way better if you just, you know, hey, dude, you just need a bit more aggression at that moment. And you see his students evolve in their unique ways.
Yeah, it's good.
And I think that, you know, without the beauty of that is that he's not spending, I mean, he's spending mental time, obviously, and whatnot outside of the jits, but it's not a procession. It's not this super complicated, keep a diary, journalize all your, it's like you still just show up and it happens.
Oh, for sure. And I think, like I said, I don't want people to feel like I'm damning jiu-jitsu coaches. I mean, yeah, we know there's some great ones and some not great ones, right? But I think the thing that's not being discussed is the personal ownership piece, which is some people are like, oh, drilling doesn't work. No. A right tool for the job. Like, it works for some people.
Can do.
Yeah. In the same way, some people, they're just savages. I think you're one of those people. It's like, Joe, go strangle that guy. Okay. I'll work it out. Yeah. Like, you just make it happen. You know, and some people are good like that. And then other people, they really need it to be broken down for them. But once you unlock that, away they go.
Yeah.
And I think ultimately the advantage, or if you're trying to work out, don't blame the coach. Don't blame the system. One of the things that will help you unlock jiu-jitsu is work out how you learn. Like, what is the best way you learn? Because maybe watching heaps of instructionals, just, it's a waste of money for you. Or maybe that's the perfect thing for you. But you need to try multiple things to try and, you know, find that thing which is good for you.
Absolutely. What's your one key takeaway for the newer students who are hearing this?
I think the number one thing you can do is to, like we were talking about inclinations, some people are kind of want to stand up and wrestle and do that, and other people are like, no, I really go with your inclination, whatever that might be, and pick one thing to get good at. I think the hardest thing is there's so much available to you, and your coach might be encouraging you to do a million things. No, the only way that you can really get better is to start to really get familiar with one guard or one pass or one thing. And once you feel more competent with that core skill against so many different bodies, you will be able to build out off of that. Go with your inclination, pick one thing. Yourself?
I like that. A part of a similar approach would be have some intention, some like a single intention for every class you show up to. Mm. Whether it's like, tonight I'm just going to work my guard, or tonight no one's going to take me down and I want to improve that, or tonight I'm going to get to close guard and then try that shit that I've been working on. But it's like you set an intention and you try and stick to it.
Yeah.
And that could be for that night. It could be for the week. It could even be for the month.
Yeah.
But that is just automatically adding some extra juice to your kind of learning capacity within that 60 to 90 minute class.
Yes, sir.
Awesome.
Now it's time to go to bulletproofbjj.com and download that app.
Get that app, son.
Yeah.
Just get it on. You can get it. It will be on the App Store. If you choose to subscribe, it can happen through the site.
Yeah. If you'd like to support your boys a bit better, so we don't have to give 30% of our money to Apple.
That's the real shit.
Please come and give your money directly to Bulletproof. Please.
But, you know, the app is free. There's a whole bunch of free programs and shit on there.
Yeah, like, that's the cool thing.
Yeah, it's lit. So just go and download and start training. And you can connect with us there on the community page.
Community page is going to be nice, and the rings is cool.
Track your training, log your jits, log your strength.
It's cool, and I'm so excited. Excited for you guys to get it. Pumped to be connecting with everybody in the community page.
Fucking A, we'll see you guys there.
All right.
Peace.